Following are comments on William Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, Act I. In sooth, I know not why I am so sad. Bassanio declares his sadness, and his friends try without success to pin down the possible causes of it. In Act I, Scene I, Antonio immediately sets himself up to play the willing victim. Quote unquote, "In sooth, I know not why I am so sad," he says, and laments that he has much ado, quote unquote, to understand himself at all. Act I, Scene I, Line 1 and Line 7. Salerio and Solanio try to tease him into a better mood by painting a picture of a commodities-obsessed, materialistic consciousness, one bound to think obsessively about all the precious goods he has at risk. Salerio even compares the movement of Antonio's ships to a rich, stately pageant, and everyone in Shakespeare's day knew how expensive an aristocrat's pageants and courtly masks could be. Act 1, Scene 1, Lines 8 through 14. Antonio, the wealthy merchant, however, says only, quote unquote, "My ventures are not in one bottom trusted." Act 1, Scene 1, Line 42. He has not staked all his fortunes on his present dealings. "Well, if it isn't money," insists Solanio, "it must be love that's getting his friend down." When he is rewarded by Antonio only with a double fie, he shoots back what sounds like snap out of it. Quote unquote, "'Twere as easy for you to laugh and leap and say you are merry because you are not sad." Act 1, Scene 1, Line 46 and Lines 48 through 50. To Solanio, his friend, the merchant, is merely playing the contrarian. But just now, in come Bassanio, Graziano, and Lorenzo, when Antonio says gravely, quote unquote, "I hold the world but as the world, Graziano, a stage where every man must play a part, and mine a sad one." Graziano accuses his friend of striking a pose just to, quote unquote, "be dressed in an opinion of wisdom, gravity, profound conceit." Act 1, Scene 1, Lines 77 through 79 and 91 through 92. This produces only a civil but non-committal remark or two from Antonio, and the last man standing aside from Antonio is Bassanio, who dismisses the memory of Graziano's performance as, quote unquote, "an infinite deal of nothing," and gets to the point of his visit. Act 1, Scene 1, Line 114. In Belmont is a lady richly left, and she is fair. Antonio's handsome young friend Bassanio requests money, this time so he can win the hand of the beautiful heiress Portia of Belmont. Still in Act 1, Scene 1, we find that the most likely cause of Antonio's sorrow is something he has already sworn off, a love interest. Antonio may not be in love in the traditional sense, but he knows that Bassanio is, or at least he means to be. The young man issues fair words, all of which boil down to acquainting Antonio with the fact that he has greatly, quote-unquote, disabled his finances thanks to an excessively showy lifestyle. Act 1, Scene 1, Line 123. Alas, Bassanio is unable to live within his ample means. Antonio responds that so long as the venture is honorable, quote-unquote, "my purse, my person, my extremest means lie all unlocked to your occasions." Act 1, Scene 1, Lines 138 through 139. He insists that Bassanio is insulting him by spending so many slick words on the matter, as if Antonio would give anything less than his uttermost, quote-unquote, to help his youthful friend attain his heart's desire. Act 1, Scene 1, Line 156. With such urging, Bassanio delivers a breathtaking description of the object of his affections, Portia. Quote unquote, "In Belmont is a lady richly left, and she is fair, and fairer than that word of wondrous virtues." Act 1, Scene 1, Lines 161 through 163. Bassanio even compares her to the Roman patrician Brutus's faithful wife, Portia. Better still, her, quote-unquote, "sunny locks are a, quote-unquote, golden fleece that he would snatch like Jason in the Greek myth. Act 1, Scene 1, lines 169 through 170. Bassanio firmly believes that he can win Portia's heart, but he needs money to do it. Antonio doesn't have liquid assets at the moment, but he gives Bassanio the answer we knew he would give. Quote unquote, "Try what my credit can in Venice do. That shall be racked even to the uttermost to furnish thee to Belmont to fair Portia." Act 1, Scene 1, lines 180 through 182. The first scene has established for us the parameters of the relationship between Antonio and Bassanio. The older man started the play as a question mark, certain only that his melancholia doesn't stem from commercial anxieties or the pangs of love. Still, to modern audiences, love will probably seem to be the obvious cause of Antonio's sadness. Today's directors tend to cast the bond between Antonio and Bassanio as resembling the classical Greek and Roman conception of male friendship, amicitia perfecta. This kind of friendship may or may not be grounded in erotic attachment, and it is something that Shakespeare regularly explores in his drama and poetry. Such friendship may have mainly to do with the space that each man takes up in the mind and spirit of the other. Either way, Antonio's depression may be plausibly connected to his brooding over what for him must be a painful eventuality. He has generously pledged to help Bassanio transfer his love from him to a beautiful, rich young woman who lives at some distance. Antonio is mature enough to know that this pursuit on Bassanio's part will end with him, Antonio, essentially alone. In any case, absolute trust exists between Antonio and Bassanio. But this trust also leads the two men to engage in excessive oath-making and promising, a process that Antonio begins by pledging to max out his credit in Venice to help his friend. Antonio promises to hazard all he has, as will Bassanio later on during the casket choice episode by which he wins the hand of Portia. The impulse here is generous, but the hyperbolic quality of the men's oaths will take on more importance and become more problematic as the plot moves forward, but more on that later. "I may neither choose who I would, nor refuse who I dislike." Portia complains to her maid Nerissa about her dead father's arrangements for her future and mocks her present choice of suitors, Bassanio accepted. In Act 1, Scene 2, Portia knows that she is constrained by the firm marriage arrangement wishes of a departed father, but she refuses to be a passive, silent sufferer. This is true in spite of her complaint to Nerissa, her maid. Quote unquote, "I may neither choose who I would nor refuse who I dislike. So is the will of a living daughter curbed by the will of a dead father." Act 1, Scene 2, lines 20 through 22. In time, she will emerge as the play's most active agent. Along with Nerissa, Portia trusts in the departed father's wisdom. She says, quote unquote, "I will die as chaste as Diana, unless I be obtained by the manner of my father's will." Act 1, Scene 2, lines 91 through 92. Still, she doesn't leave aside her own judgment. Witness her snide but perceptive remarks about the men who are pursuing her, all of whom are shallow poseurs, fools, or narcissists. The Neapolitan prince, County Palatine, Monsieur Le Bon, and company. What a dreamy bunch. Act 1, Scene 2, lines 35 through 85 inclusive. All the same, Portia does not challenge her father's patriarchalist demands. She is no rebel. Nerissa sums things up well at the scene's end. Bassanio, quote unquote, "Of all the men that ever my foolish eyes looked upon was the best deserving of a fair lady." Act 1, Scene 2, lines 100 through 101. Bassanio belongs to the right social class. He knows how to put on a good display, and he's handsome. Check, check, check. "You call me misbeliever, cutthroat dog, and spit upon my Jewish gabardine." Antonio and Bassanio ask Shylock the Jewish moneylender for a loan of 3,000 ducats. After rehearsing his grievances against Antonio, Shylock offers the money, though on ominous terms. In Act 1, Scene 3, we are introduced to the Jewish moneylender, Shylock. He is a strong character and at once bold and circumspect in his manner. His perspective and sensibilities are very different from those of the Christians in The Merchant of Venice. When we meet Shylock, he is assessing the creditworthiness of the rich merchant, Antonio. What is Shylock's estimation of Antonio? Well, even when one factors in the possibility of his ships being ransacked by pirates, or of succumbing to the, quote-unquote, peril of waters, winds, and rocks, he says, quote-unquote, the man is notwithstanding sufficient. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 21 through 22. Shylock decides to take on the Christian's request for a short-term loan of 3,000 ducats, a considerable sum. Act 1, Scene 3 is partly about the different understanding of linguistic terms between Christians and Jews. As Shylock and Bassanio, and then Antonio as well, engage in their spirited bargaining, we learn what it means to be a quote-unquote good man in Shylock's view when he is in business mode. The moneylender says to Bassanio before Antonio comes onto the scene, quote-unquote, my meaning in saying he is a good man is to have you understand me that he is sufficient. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 13 through 15. The play's Christians pride themselves on using these words mainly as moral terms, not financial ones. Shylock is unintimidated by Bassanio's Christian perspective and confidence, and declares, quote-unquote, I will buy with you, sell with you, talk with you, walk with you, and so following, but I will not eat with you, drink with you, nor pray with you. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 29 through 32. We see Shylock's resentment of Antonio almost from the outset, and it sounds like he has good reason for his bitterness. The Jewish outsider isn't driven only by his desire to win an argument about interest-based lending, even though Shylock may sound as if he is fixated on that. Quote unquote, I hate him for he is a Christian, but more for that in low simplicity he lends out money gratis. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 36 through 38. No, Shylock's ancient grudge, quote-unquote, is both individual and collective. The personal insults and gobs of spit that Antonio and other Christians so casually toss his way are insults to his, quote-unquote, sacred nation as well. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 41 through 42. Shylock believes it to be his duty not to forgive Antonio. Quote-unquote, cursed be my tribe if I forgive him. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 45 through 46. The moment Antonio enters the scene, he treats Shylock in an unreflectively condescending manner. He expresses a lordly willingness to, quote-unquote, break a custom and deal with the lowly moneylender who lends on interest. Act 1, Scene 3, line 58. The barbed quality of Antonio's remark does not go unnoticed by Shylock, who casts the words in the merchant's face. He says to Antonio, quote unquote, methoughts you said you neither lend nor borrow upon advantage. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 63 through 64. Shylock furthers his rhetorical takedown of Antonio by trotting out a story from the Hebrew Bible. He alludes to the story in Genesis chapter 30, verses 25 through 43, of how Jacob got the better of his uncle Laban, a man he served for 7 years for the hand of Rachel, only to be given Leah instead and required to work another 7 years for Rachel, who eventually gave birth to Joseph. At the end of his second service period, goes the story, Laban asked Jacob to stay on, and Jacob asked as his wages, speckled, spotted sheep and goats, and the dark-colored lambs. These supposedly inferior creatures were to be his own flock. Then he took some poplar branches and peeled the bark to expose the white inside, and placed these in the animals' watering troughs. Jacob bred the stronger animals in the presence of these branches, and their young were born spotted, so his flocks increased, quote unquote. And thrift is blessing, says Shylock, quote unquote, if men steal it not. Act 1, Scene 3, line 84. Antonio by no means finds the story a justification of Shylock's moneylending. Jacob's increased flock, insists Antonio, wasn't due to his own honest effort, but was, quote-unquote, swayed and fashioned by the hand of heaven. Act 1, Scene 3, line 87. It's just money breeding money as if by magic, Antonio seems to be suggesting. We can see that there will be no agreement between these two men beyond the basic terms of the loan they are about to undertake. Shylock's manner with Antonio is an odd shunting back and forth between cheerful courtesy and confrontation. He wryly rehearses his grievances, reminding Antonio of the shocking cruelty he has shown towards him in the past. And the patience, Shylock himself, a member of an ethnic religious group known for its sufferance, quote-unquote, has shown in turn, quote-unquote, in the Rialto you have rated me about my monies and my usances, still have I borne it with a patient shrug. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 101 through 103. Antonio has, in fact, done worse than badmouth Shylock, as is apparent from the latter's description, quote-unquote. You call me misbeliever, cutthroat dog, and spit upon my Jewish gabardine. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 105 through 106. This and more. All of it is the very sort of thing that Antonio and Bassanio are surely hoping Shylock will not cast in their teeth just now, when they badly need a loan. Well, Shylock proceeds to offer an infamous deal that, fairy tale-like in its provenance, he casts as a merry sport, quote-unquote, and, quote-unquote, friendship. Act 1, Scene 3, line 138 and 161. The exact terms are that if the loan is not repaid on time, Antonio's penalty will be set down as, quote-unquote, an equal pound of your fair flesh to be cut off and taken in what part of your body pleaseth me. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 142 through 144. A chance to injure Antonio has come Shylock's way, and he takes it up gleefully against this Gentile antagonist. What is proposed is a high-stakes wager on the order of Christian salvation, but no matter that. Antonio seems self-assured and dismissive, even hubristic. He has no doubts about his ability to pay his debts, so Shylock's grotesque, absurd conditions don't trouble him. Shylock's continued false good cheer is hardly necessary. Quote unquote. What should I gain, he asks, quote unquote, by the exaction of the forfeiture? Act 1, Scene 3, lines 166 through 167. To this protestation, Antonio remarks jestingly, quote unquote, the Hebrew will turn Christian, he grows kind. Act 1, Scene 3, line 171. All the same, the conditions of the bond do trouble Bassanio, who warns Antonio, quote unquote, I like not fair terms and a villain's mind. Act 1, Scene 3, line 172. Antonio should have listened to his young friend. We in the audience are better positioned to see the dark side of Shylock's admission that a quantity of human flesh, quote unquote, is not so estimable, profitable neither, as flesh of muttons, beefs, or goats. Act 1, Scene 3, lines 159 through 160. Of course it isn't. This, quote unquote, merry sport is about revenge, not money. And Antonio's characteristic stereotyping of Shylock as a greedy usurer blinds him to the peril to which he is voluntarily subjecting himself. Shylock has his moments in The Merchant of Venice, moments in which he may appear to be a sympathetic figure, as actors have been playing him for a few centuries now. But this is not one of them. Here, at the end of the first act, we see Shylock cunningly trapping a feckless Christian into signing his own death warrant. Perhaps, as St. Paul wrote, quote unquote, the Spirit giveth life. But at present, Shylock is delighted with his bargain, that favors the other half of that pronouncement. Quote unquote, the letter killeth. Thanks for listening. This audio lecture was recorded on Saturday, July 26th, 2025. The foregoing material is copyright 2025 by Alfred J. Drake. For quotations, I have relied on the Norton Shakespeare 3rd edition 4-volume genre-based format.